Good afternoon, listeners. This is Corner Country, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au and now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. Coming to you today from the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival in St George, Queensland, with three of the artists that will be appearing there at that particular festival. We're going to kick off with Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett. Now, haven't they got some stories to tell about their life in the country music industry? And then straight after those two, we've got Alicia Smith. Now, Alicia Smith is the guitar chicken picking chick, okay? One of Australia's finest guitar players in the country music industry, I reckon. Wow, can she play guitar? Now, we're going to be playing music from these three artists as well, and I really, really hope you've enjoyed this program. We're going to kick off with a track by Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett, and the number we're kicking off with is a number called The Palmer River Goldfields.
Up in northern Queensland, near Cooktown by the sea, Palmer River Goldfields are part of history.
When the miners travel northward, searching for a dream of a hidden yellow vein in that elusive seam, spurred on by the fever and the gold that had been found, they lived and worked and shared a dream, the miners of Maytown.
Undaunted by the hard times, still the diggers came. Maytown grew and prospered as the miners worked their claims.
After just a few short years and swiftly did time fly, the Palmer River goldfields and town were left to die. Spurred on by the fever and the gold that had been found, they lived and worked and shared a dream, the miners of Maytown.
They came and left the far north, and now it's history. The Palmer River goldfields near Cooktown by the sea.
More than 100 years have passed since gold was first found, when progress ventured north with the miners of Maytown. Spurred on by the fever and the gold that had been found, they lived and worked and shared a dream, the miners of Maytown. Spurred on by the fever and the gold that had been found, they lived and worked and shared a dream, the miners of Maytown. They lived and worked and shared a dream, the miners of Maytown.
Oh, well, there you go, folks. Palmer River Goldfields. What a fabulous song by Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett. And I've got them on the program with us right now. How are you both going, guys?
I'm going pretty good, Phil.
Well, I'm going really well, Phil. Thanks for having us on the program.
Oh, look, thank you for taking the time to chat with me, because we are at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival here at St George. And, Buddy, you're running all the walk-up artists.
I am, yes. I'm supplying the sound for the week.
Okay.
And then we perform later in the week on the weekend. And we've been doing this out here now for 2-3 years now, before Gemma passed away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let's tell us about your career, Buddy, because you've been in the industry, country music industry, bush balladeering, for an awful long time. When did it all start for you?
Well, I put my first show together in 1963. 1963. And I've been going ever since, and had my own TV program on three regional stations in 73. And then I had a radio program as well on 4MB, Merribra. And then I met up with Lynn in the 80s, and then we started travelling full time, and I've been making a living at it ever since.
Fabulous. So he met you in the 80s.
Actually, I think it was before the 80s, wasn't
79.
It? 79. It was 79.
79.
And then, you know, it was in the 80s then that we virtually got together, and neither of us knew each other were into the music as, you know, and then it just grew, the music side of things.
So where did you meet, buddy?
I was selling real estate at that stage.
And I had some money to spend.
And so I was after the money, and I finished up with a woman.
So you've got the lot.
I got the lot. Yeah.
You got the mine and the shaft, the gold, the lot.
The lot. Yeah, no worries at all.
So you play bass guitar, is that right, Lynn?
I do. I play a little bit of rhythm too.
Okay.
And but the main you know, the main guitar is the bass, because okay. I find that I'm doing more, you know, backing on okay. the backing side, doing harmonies for other people and stuff like that. But
but you sing yourself?
Yes.
You do indeed, because we're going to play some songs by you guys in a little while. So who's the main songwriter? Would it be you, buddy?
Yeah, I do all the songwriting. I've written poems and songs about 300-400, and I've had over 100 published by myself and different artists over the years. But, yeah, they're nearly all true. There's a few love ones that mightn't be quite
fictional.
True, but I don't specialise in love songs. I like the story songs.
The storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what Bush Balladeering's all about, isn't it?
Really? It is, yeah.
It's about telling a story with music, I guess, a poem to music.
Poems to music, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
And it's basically our history. A lot of the work that he writes is basically history, and people love it.
So the songs that you write are about your own personal experiences?
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah, a lot of them. And then I write, as I say, I write a lot of history stuff. I do a fair bit of research to make sure I've got my facts right and all the rest of it. And because once it's down there, it's there forever, you know.
Yeah.
And, I just love it.
So how many albums would you have, you guys?
Between us, we've got 9 out all up. But they're all out of print except Songs from Nature's Cathedral.
Oh, well, why are they out of print?
Because I never got any more done. COVID beggared that up.
Yes. We had talked about it, and I said to him that we should be putting out a best of, if nothing else at this stage. And as he said, you've got to be out pushing it and performing. And he says, I'm getting too old.
Yeah, I'm starting to retire, see.
So you've been starting to wind back like Johnny Williamson.
Yeah, I'm winding back, yeah. Yeah.
But you still love what you do, you're still pretty fit.
Yeah, I'm still pretty fit.
I mean, we were chatting the other day, and you were talking about building a couple of sheds on your property.
Probably.
So I don't think you're ready to retire yet. What about you, Lynn? What about you? Are you ready to retire?
I'm still a bit of a spring chicken, but I not as well. I'm still in the 70s, yes. But I still enjoy my music. And I thought, well, if he decides that he's not going to do anything, well, it's hooroo blue. I'm going to go and play bass for anyone that's stupid enough to play.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so you're not ready to. Put the instrument
no way,
down.
No, no way. No, I love it. I love it. I love the music. I love the interaction with other people, other musos, and just generally the music.
Fantastic. Yeah. So where are you going to be going from here? Because we're at St. George at the moment at the Yellowbelly Festival. Have you got another one that you're heading to after here?
Not right away. We're heading back to Bouldercombe, back towards Rockhampton.
Right.
We've just moved a house onto a property up there, and I'm building sheds. As you said before, and in a couple of weeks' time, they're going to put the power on for us. We've been living off-grid for a couple of years, so, yeah.
Like permanent camping there, on the block.
Yeah, plenty of camping. How big's the block, Lynn?
Six and a half acres.
6.5 acres, yeah.
6.5 acres.
Can't be built out. It's just God's own country up where we are. It's beautiful.
So what's it like living off-grid for you? Because you're in your caravan here, and you do a fair bit of travelling in the caravan.
We did do a lot of travelling. Mm. And, you know, we used to travel. We'd do our tours, work out our tours, and we'd be on the road for 3 and 4 weeks at a time, depending on which way we're heading. And just depended on where we were going and what we were doing.
For Cooktown or something like that, you know.
So what's the worst thing about off-grid for you, Lynn? No hot water?
Hot water really wasn't the problem. Probably the showers more than anything, like carting the water to the bathroom.
Wow.
We had 6-volt shower, like 6-volt shower and stuff like that. But that's 12-volt. 12-volt, not 6, 12. 12-volt. And we had, we're still using that now. It should only be a couple of weeks now, and we'll have it on, and that will certainly be good. And then having to wait for the generator so that I could do the washing.
Yes. Well, let's talk about your music career. That sounds like more fun.
It is, so definitely.
What have you been involved with, Buddy? Because not only are you a singer-songwriter, a poet in your own right, but you've done a lot in the country music industry, haven't you?
Yeah, as I said, I had a radio program in 73. I had a TV program on Nambour, Moorabbin and Bundaberg stations.
Yes.
And I was one of the foundation members of the Australian Bush Balladeers Association. And
how far does that go back?
2000. Yeah, that's only 2000. That's a...
That's later on.
Yeah, that's a bit of a new one. And, I helped start a few festivals up. Well, both Len and I, the Bunduma one, the Spirit of the Bush, we started that about 25 years ago.
We helped get Nanango going.
Nanango, we helped the first one on Nanango to get Nanango going. I think you've been there too.
I was at Nanango last year, and that was the 20th year. So that's 20 years ago. You kicked that one off.
We helped get them started. Then we did Widgie and down near Gympie and Munna Creek, which is down on the Murray River. We helped get that going.
Mergan Music Muster.
Yeah, the Mergan Music Muster. We operated that one for quite a while. And also the country music out at the Milmerran Camp Oven Festival. That was very good.
We didn't start that one, though.
No, we didn't start that. We just come in after they'd done the hard work of starting it. And then we did a fair bit of work in Tamworth in the early days, in the 80s. We started the Flying Doctor Show out of
City Lights Hotel, City Lights Caravan Park.
City Lights Caravan Park, you know. And that we always run that one on awards night. We used to get about 300, 350 people out in the caravan park.
And we had a little competition there too.
Yeah.
We judged Peter Dennehy there.
One year he won the Buddy Thompson Bush Ballad Award at the Flying Doctor Show.
And Peter's very popular in this country music now.
He's very much
a top bloke.
Yeah,
he's the whole family, they're lovely.
Right around Australia with Peter Dennehy and Jimmy Little and a few of the other fellows too, Stan Costa, so Brian Young. They're all stalwarts of country music, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're proud to say that we worked with them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Lovely
that
people.
That must have been thrilling times. That must have been thrilling times for both of you.
It was actually. Yeah. We actually were working with the Koori, competitions, didn't we?
Yeah,
we're down there as well. We helped start that one.
Tamworth, with the Tamworth Collective.
And then we were involved with the Tamworth on Parade.
Yeah.
And that went right round Australia. We performed at the Sydney Opera House and went right round, played every major city.
So what was it like playing in an opera house?
Different.
It had no more appeal to me. I'm not running the opera house down, but it has no more appeal to me than the Princess Theatre in Launceston. That was beautiful. It was good. It was an honour. It was a really good honour. But whenever there's a crowd out there and you're performing to them, and they appreciate what you're doing, that is the highlight of your career.
It doesn't matter where you are or where you're performing,
where
if they're enjoying it.
Like these people here at St George or Bouldercombe, where you're performing, and if they enjoy you,
it's half
that's
the
highlight.
Well, why don't we take a break, you two? And we're going to put a song on from this album. What's this album you've got there, Buddy?
Called Songs from Nature's Cathedral. It's got 13 songs on it, and they're all mine. And we're going to do virtually the title track, Nature's Cathedral. And this is a gospel history song, if you get what I mean. And it's very true, and it's called Nature's Cathedral. It's pretty well self-explanatory.
All right, well, we're going to put that on right now, listeners, and we'll be back with more of Buddy and Lynn straight after that.
In nature's cathedral, they prayed to the Lord. A blue gum, their steeple, God's love, their reward. In a land that was young, two Christian ways, In nature's cathedral they gathered to pray.
From far distant lands they ventured by sea to make a new home and forever be free. With faith in the Lord for his guiding hand, to a new life they came in this timeless land.
To the bush of Australia the settlers march forward. They built shanties for homes and sheltered with the Lord. These pioneering families following God's ways, beneath the blue gums would gather to pray. In nature's cathedral they prayed to the Lord. A blue gum their steeple, God's love their reward. In a land that was young to Christian ways, in nature's cathedral they gathered to pray.
The settlers would gather on Sunday to pray, to give thanks to the Lord for his love every day. As they faced the hardships in this lonely land, they prayed to the Lord for his helping hand.
On some reedy lagoon or green river bank, they gathered on Sunday, prepared to give thanks. In a hard, untamed land, the winds of danger blew, where trials they were many and bush churches few. In nature's cathedral they prayed to the Lord. A blue gum their steeple, God's love their reward. In a land that was young to Christian ways, in nature's cathedral they gathered to pray. In nature's cathedral they prayed to the Lord. A blue gum their steeple, God's love their reward. In a land that was young to Christian ways, in nature's cathedral they gathered to pray. In nature's cathedral they gathered to pray.
Well, thanks you two for that incredible song. Where do you get the inspiration from to write these sort of things?
Oh, it just comes. Being a bush kid, old drover, I suppose, and timber worker, you name it. And, there's just so much. We're in Australia, mate. It's full of inspiration.
Yes.
It is full of inspiration. So, old Costa used to say the same thing, It wasn't hard to get inspiration from Australia.
So did you have any other influences other than Australian country singers?
Oh, when I was growing up, Wilf Carter, Hank Williams, I still love these. Hank Williams, I reckon, was the greatest artist ever created, apart from Slim Dusty.
Did you ever meet Slim?
Yeah, I did. Yep. A couple of times, Slim did a bit of work for us at the Australian Bush Balladeers.
He worked for you?
Yeah, well, he presented awards and things like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, him and Joy. And they were absolutely fantastic, yeah. Yeah, it's a, great.
Pity we didn't spend more time with them.
I knew old Tex fairly well.
Yes.
And when I was a kid back in 63, I was still pretty old, I met Tex at the Brisbane exhibition, and because I used to go to the Tex Morton show, the Lagarde Twins show, the Chad Morgan show, and then just keep rotating them. And one day I was sitting on a strainer post that was used as an anchor on the Tex Morton tent, And this fella in Garber, Dean Brown, came out and sat laying alongside of me. And he said, "You want to be a country, a hillbilly singer, boy?" And I said, "No, I want to be a rope spinner more than country music." And with that, he said, "Well, I'll introduce you to another fellow by the name of Kid McLeod." He said, "And between us, we'll get you spinning ropes." And they did. So alive today, I'm probably the only fella alive today that Tex Morton and Kid McLeod taught to spin ropes.
And when we were touring at one stage, we had that in our performance, didn't we, the rope spinning?
But I've had a couple of strokes, and that sort of buggered up me.
Coordination.
Coordination.
Yeah.
You probably still do it if you really wanted to.
I used to do a bit of whip cracking and stuff like that too, you know, cutting cigarettes out of people's mouths.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be at the clothesline doing something and he'd say, "Put this in your mouth and whack."
But anyway, that's in those days.
Now
I'm flat out seeing the person now, let alone the cigarette. But no, it was good. And, you know, old Tex and Buddy, they were our inspiration, weren't they? And then come Slim and old, of course, we had old Smokey Dawson.
Smokey Dawson, yes.
Yeah, and the melodies that man wrote with three chords was unbelievable. Yeah, it's it was fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. I agree with you there. Now, what about you? Have you, Lynn, have you got any special memories or influences from any of these people that Buddy's talking about?
Well, actually, I only was introduced to country music when I first met him, because I didn't even know country music existed.
So what did you play? You said you played bass.
I played guitar before bass. I'll tell you how I managed to get into bass. But originally, I was playing guitar when I was a teenager, but I was into the pop stuff, you know, like the pommy pop, like the Sandy...
pommy pop.
Sandy Shore, you know,
right.
Sandy Shore.
Yes.
I can't even think of the other names now. It's terrible. And I was right into the folk music, Peter, Paul and Mary, all those sort of things, because I don't think Mum and Dad thought that country music was the way to go.
Very dignified.
Yeah, very dignified for our lot. They were very, very pompous pommies, you might say.
Pompous pommies.
Very much, weren't they, Buddy?
Yeah.
And, and when it came to playing bass, we actually met this fellow called Merv Maltman. I don't know whether or not you heard of him at all. Merv was...
he's a gold guitar, Black Soil Plains of the Outback. Dean Perrott and Lee Kernighan recorded one of his songs.
I'm just trying to think the name of it now.
Yeah, about the out on the Cooper's Creek, you know, the break of the drought with the thing. And Merv, yeah, he got a gold guitar.
Can't think of the name of that now. It's terrible. But anyway, we had the three of us. We were to go out on tour together.
Yep.
And I think I had something like 3 weeks to learn to play bass, make sure I knew all Buddy's songs so I could do harmonies. And then I had to learn Merv songs so I could do harmonies for him. And then I had my solo side of it also.
It's pressure.
And that was a very crash course in bass. But we managed, didn't we, Buddy?
A pretty good little show. It was called Down Under Country. And it was all Australian.
All Australian.
Yeah, absolutely 100% Australian it was. And Merv was a good fella to be with too, you know. He's passed on now. And, and he toured with... Rick and Thel. He did three tours right around Australia with Rick and Thel. He toured with Buddy Williams, Stan Costa, Chris and Angie. Yeah, a whole heap of people, you know. So, it was pretty interesting, yeah.
You know, sitting here, I saw you the other day when we arrived, and you're looking like a swagman, Buddy, and I don't say that with disrespect, but I'm absolutely blown away by the people you've met, the people you've worked with. The knowledge of Australian music in your head is unbelievable. And if I saw you in the street, I'd think, oh, yeah.
Bit of a rough nut.
Bit of a rough-looking sort of character.
He looks a bit like Phil, the radio player.
You got more hair than me, though. I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but you've obviously got a whole lifetime of stories that you could tell. I could understand why you would have had a radio program, a television program.
Yeah.
It must have been fascinating to be doing all that stuff back then.
It was, yeah. It's I can remember the time Chad Morgan was on Terry Dear's Amateur Hour. I actually heard that performance.
Rick and Thel.
They sang that old Jimmy Rogers song.
She was happy till she met you.
She was happy till she met you.
And we actually sing that
one
now and
again.
And
that was on Terry Dear's Amateur Hour back in the early 50s. And I'll treasure those memories till the day I die.
You'd have to.
I've got a few little memories that I treasure too, like singing with Jimmy Little in Darwin. And also in Tamworth one year, we did the show out at the Long Yard before that motel went up. And Buddy was doing sound, that one. And I actually played bass for
Rick Carey
and his daughter, Lenny, and her son, their Lynn's son. And who else was on that, Buddy? That show, we had the fella from Rocky.
Yeah, Paul Lester.
Paulie Lester. And these people are all gone now. You know, most of them, we had...
The chap from Birchip, Dusty Rankin.
Dusty Rankin, they were on that show, and we all worked together on that same stage, and I was the youngest there and proud to be part of it. It was lovely.
Must have been an incredible experience
for
both
of you.
It was. Because all these people, you grow up with them, you know.
Mm. And they would have been your idols, surely.
They were my idols. You take Dusty Rankin, like, I got just about every 78 that Dusty Rankin ever put out.
Lovely and, fella.
He was a lovely fella. Rocky Page was another one. And, it was unbelievable, all these fellas. You grow up with them. And you listen to them on the Hillbilly program at 2 o'clock in the morning. And after the old man had pulled you out of bed to start work, because he was never noted for wasting daylight hours,
no,
my dad.
Certainly not. Look, I'm going to have to wind this up in a moment. I could talk with you guys all day, really, seriously, but we do have a bit of a time slot, and we do have another guest coming on a little bit later on. Tell us a little bit about your experiences working with Alicia.
Alicia, fantastic, you know, Jammo. Yeah, fantastic. True bush balladeer. And his name will... Yeah, his songs will live forever. And since Jammo's passing,
we've just been helping Alicia along.
Just helping out. She's such a fantastic person to work with, you know. It's unbelievable.
And Caitlin, her daughter.
And
Jammo's
talent.
Jammo's
daughter, Caitlin.
That's a talent. And
she's got the world at her feet.
Week after week after week, and she's unbelievable.
Yeah. And her personality and her attitude has never changed
that
we've known her.
You know, it's just the same. You know,
the only thing that I was disappointed in was that we didn't spend a lot more time with Jammo, because we were running the festival down at Bunduma, weren't we, Buddy?
Yeah.
And Jammo was doing his festivals and one thing another, and occasionally we got them down there to perform down at Bunduma on the program.
Get us to perform
up here, and just didn't spend the time where we could really get to know him as a person.
I guess the quality time that you just don't get.
Definitely. When you're doing your own thing, you know.
Of course.
And you try not to cross paths when you're travelling.
Of course. Well, we just hope that this fabulous festival here at St George Yellabelly can continue.
Oh, we're certainly hoping
and
we'll help.
I'm pretty certain it will continue. It's a good one. We've always enjoyed it coming out here.
Good people out here.
Even before Yellabelly was started, when we were touring, we always used to spend a week in St George. And
we'd go to Cunnamulla, then to Thargaminda.
Yeah, do a lot of performing around the place, and we always had good shows here. It was always a fantastic place.
Fantastic.
And
actually, a couple of songs that I've written over the years about Australia's only Aboriginal fighter pilot and another fellow by the name of John F. Jackson. I'll be doing both these songs this weekend. And they've got a tremendous memorial. The councillors and the Historical Society down on the Ballon River. There's a beautiful memorial to these two World War II people. John F. Jackson, he didn't make it home, but the story of why he didn't make it home is well worth reading. And
the other one was Len Waters.
Well, he flew 95 missions, and he was Australia's first Aboriginal fighter pilot.
Wow.
And we knew his wife really well, and the whole family, actually, really well. And these are the sort of people where you get your inspiration from.
And the winery out here is got a commemorative port, and it's called Black Magic.
Black Magic.
And that was the name of the Kitty Hawk that Len Waters flew, and Buddy wrote that as well. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to wind this up, you two.
Yeah.
You said that before.
I know. Look.
You don't stick to your word.
I don't stick to my word, but I have to stick to my word now. We're going to wind this up, but before we let you go, we're going to play one of your songs. It's a war song too, isn't it?
This is a war song about one of my heroes. I had quite a few heroes. Don Bradman, Slim Dusty, Buddy Williams, and this fella, Weary Dunlop.
And that song pretty well tells us.
It tells the story. It's a two-parter. Lynn and I sing it together. And, he's just one of the great Australian blokes that helped our boys through the war, you know. And
from going insane, might say.
And he was always been, as long as I can remember, he's always one of my heroes. Mm. So it's called Weary Dunlop.
Well, thank you both for being on the program, Lynn. Thank you so much, Buddy.
Thanks, mate. Yeah,
it's been my absolute pleasure to have had the opportunity of met you out here and to spend a bit of time chatting with you. I love the idea of being able to see you both perform in the next couple of days.
Great.
Thanks very much for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk with you. It's great. Thanks.
Well, we're going to be back with more of Corner Country Listeners straight after Weary Dunlop, and that was Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett.
Weary Dunlop watched all his men as they clung to life like a flickering lamp. A legend now, but a prisoner then, in this hell on earth called a prison camp.
In the face of death, he saw men laugh at the thought of home. He watched them cry. Imagine now, not by half the suffering then, or the reasons why.
Behind the walls of that hell on earth, that evil place that held their lives, would they walk free to the land of birth? Against the odds, would they survive? Weary Dunlop watched all his men as they clung to life like a flickering lamp. A legend now, but a prisoner then, in this hell on earth called a prison camp.
Weary Dunlop stood proud and tall, a beacon bright to dying men. He soothed their brow when they gave their all, a guiding hand and a mate to them.
A guiding light in grim dark days, captive then to a cruel fate. What must have seemed the devil's ways that spawned the birth of a lifetime's hate. Weary Dunlop watched all his men as they clung to life like a flickering lamp. A legend now, but a prisoner then, in this hell on earth called a prison camp. Weary Dunlop watched all his men as they clung to life like a flickering lamp. A legend now, but a prisoner then in this hell on earth called a prison camp. In this hell on earth called a prison camp.
There you go, folks. That was Weary Dunlop by Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett. Now I'm going to play you a tune by Alicia Smith and Keith Jamison from the Rhythm and Rhyme album. And then straight after this, we're going to have Alicia with us on the program. The tune we're going to play for you is a number called The Willy Wagtail Hop. Tail Hop. What's the backstory to that?
Yeah, so that one, I actually wrote that song. A good mate of ours up in Rockhampton, Ned Dodd, he was a real old showman, passed away a few years ago, but he used to say to me, why don't you write a tune about the little Willy Wagtails? Anyway, so eventually I got around to it and wrote this song, called it The Willy Wagtail Hop.
Okay.
And yeah, I used to play it a lot actually. When Caitlin was little, she'd jump up on stage with a little pink tambourine and tap away on it when she was two or three or something. And that was always her song, Willy Wagtail Hop.
Fantastic. For the benefit of our listeners, we're at the Yellow Valley Country Music Festival in St. George, and you just haven't stopped.
It's been a busy week, but it's all going really well, so it's good.
It's good. Yep. It's good. You're happy?
Yeah,
it's going
definitely.
Well. Yep. All your walk-ups are having a fabulous time.
They sure are, yeah.
And I had the pleasure of meeting Buddy Thompson and Lynn Bennett yesterday. My goodness me, how fabulous are they?
Yeah, they're characters, aren't they?
But so much music knowledge, and they've worked with so many people. And how long have you known him?
I've probably known Buddy and Lynn for maybe 20 years or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you were the one who said I should talk to him. And I'm glad you put me on to him.
It's definitely worth having a yarn to Buddy. He's definitely got a lot of knowledge and history behind him.
Yes.
For sure.
Fantastic. Yep. Now, what about you? For the benefit of our listeners, because, you know, you're no stranger to the stage either, are you? You're a fabulous guitar player. I mean, I played one of your tunes last week. Tippy
Toes.
Tippy Toes. Wow. And with I guess that was Keith doing the good old country picking, was it? Or was that you doing that?
The picking, that was me, yeah.
That was you?
Yeah, Keith would have been playing the rhythm guitar.
Whoa.
So what happened with that one? We were heading down to Tamworth to record an album with Steve Newton.
Okay.
And I didn't have enough songs organised. We're still sort of scrounging around looking for instrumentals. Anyway, Keith saw this song on YouTube, and there was a guy from over in Canada, Ed Peekakoot is his name. I don't know whether you've seen him on Facebook or anything, but he's a brilliant guitarist and singer, fiddle player. He's really good, and he was on there playing this tune called Tippy Toes on Facebook. And I, as soon as I heard it, I thought, oh, I've got to learn that, going to record that. And searched and searched and found that it was actually written by a lady by the name of Boots Fay way back in the, I don't know, 50s or somewhere.
Yes.
And I was pretty impressed that a lady had written such a brilliant tune. So I just decided then and there that I'd record it. And, yeah, just love it. Caitlin played some fiddle on it as well, yes. And it came up really good.
Now look, I think it's sensational. And I guess I assumed it was Keith because he says, and now for some good old country picking. And I thought, oh, he must be doing the picking.
That's not actually Keith that says that.
It's not.
Actually Ed Peekakoot, the guy from Canada.
Oh, really?
We took that little bit of his voice and put it on my recording.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, now I'm really getting the backstory to the tune because I just assumed it was Keith and yourself and Caitlin on the fiddle. But so it wasn't him saying it.
It wasn't him saying it. He played rhythm guitar and I played the lead guitar, Caitlin on the fiddle, and Ed Peekakoot doing that little voiceover.
That little voiceover.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we played that last week, listeners, so if you want to hear that one, we're not going to play it again for you this week, but we are going to play quite a few tracks for you, at least three in this little discussion that we're going to have. So you only play the guitar, don't you? Do you play any other instruments?
Can a little tiny bit, but not on stage. I'm not that great. Guitar's always been the thing for me that I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So how many albums do you have? You've got quite a few, don't you?
I've got two full instrumental albums. I've got the Guitar Pick and Chicken.
Yes.
And then there's another one called Finger Pick and Good. And
Finger Picking Good.
And then I recorded a couple of albums with Keith with like half instrumentals from me and songs from him, Rhythm and Rhyme and Our Bush Ballad Family. And then the last one that we did together was a family album called Memories Within with Keith, myself and our daughter Caitlin.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how about if we put a track on from the Memories Within? So what do you think you're going to want to play from? You want us to play something from that or is it?
Yes, that would be great. There's actually a song that was written by a good friend of ours over in Western Australia, Terry Bennett's.
Yes.
And Terry asked me to record this one with him.
Okay.
And I think he kind of made it up because my nickname is the Guitar Picking Chicken.
Okay, so who came up with that name first of all?
Well, many years ago we were doing a gig in Mount Isa and there was a lady in the audience and she kept yelling out wanting me to play more and she just nicknamed me the Guitar Picking Chicken, so it kind of stuck.
Right.
So Terry wrote this instrumental and got me to record it with him and we both played it. He played acoustic guitar and I played electric. And he called it Chicken Pickin'.
Chicken Pickin'.
Yeah.
So it's really a song written for you or a tune written for you.
I think it might be, yeah.
Well, you've adopted the nickname of the Chicken Pickin' Chicken, whatever it is, and you can certainly pick at that guitar. So why don't we put that on right now?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Here you go, listeners. Memories Within is the name of the album and Chicken Pickin' is the name of the tune. And we're going to be back with more of Alicia straight after that.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. How long have you been picking like that?
Oh, I probably, let me think. I think I've been playing guitar for about 25 years or something now. Yeah.
So you mainly like to play lead guitar, rhythm guitar, all this fancy picking stuff? Because that's pretty complicated, isn't it? I think it is anyway.
Probably not as complicated as you think.
Really?
No, not really.
Okay.
I started out learning like just rhythm guitar and then went on to learn the bass guitar, played that for a while, and then I was lucky enough to meet Barry Thornton, who played behind Slim Dusty back in the early days on a lot of Slim's early recordings.
Right.
And he sort of got me going on the lead guitar, taught me, you know, a few little bits and pieces and instrumentals and things like that, and really sort of made me want to learn it more and more. And like after he passed away, I just kept going with it and learned off his recordings that he'd put out, playing along with them, and learnt some of his instrumentals and started writing a few of my own as well, and just went from there, really.
Look,
yeah.
I just think to play those picking, you got to really, I don't know, I lose myself in watching the hand, the movements of the hands, picking the strings and the fretboards. And when I film artists that are doing this, I have a tendency to take my camera away from the artist and come right in close to the fretboard and close to the guitar itself, so people can actually see what's going on with your hands.
Yeah, yep.
And you don't think that's complicated, no?
No, not really. I think anyone could do it if they put their mind to it.
Really?
Yep, definitely. If I can do it, anyone can.
Oh, no, but I don't know about that. I don't think I could. My brain doesn't think that quickly. But it's muscle memory, really, isn't it? After a while, you just do it and it's muscle memory.
You don't have to think about it.
You don't actually have to think about it.
Exactly.
Which is, yeah. I would imagine if it was me, I'd be looking at the guitar, looking at the fretboard, looking at the strings, looking at myself in the mirror, getting totally confused, and I'd be doing anything but chicken picking, that's for sure. So we're going to play another song in a moment. Now, what's the next album? Because you said you've got a couple of albums out there, and I think we might have a go at the guitar chicken.
Oh, I put an album out. Okay. After I got that nickname and called it the Guitar Picking Chicken. That was right. My first album, which I released in, I think, 2005 or 6.
Okay.
Somewhere there. So I put a song on there. I've always been a really big fan of Slim Dusty because I just grew up listening to him all my life pretty much. So I recorded a song on there that was written by Slim and his wife, Joy McKean.
Yes.
Called Darwin Big Heart of the North.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you want to whack that one on, that'd be great.
And
yeah.
It's an instrumental. Look, I love what you do with your playing and everything. You've never thought about wanting to sing before we put this tune on?
No.
Really?
Especially not right now while I'm on the radio.
No, I wasn't going to.
No, I'm not a great singer.
I wasn't going to ask you to sing it, but I just think that if you can play, most people can sing. Maybe they just don't think they sing well. I don't know.
No. I think I'll just stick to the guitar.
You're
going to
stick to the guitar?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, how about if we put this track on for the listeners and we'll come back with you straight after that?
Sounds great.
There you go, people. If you've just joined us, if you've just tuned in, this is Alicia Smith.
Yep.
There she goes. She had to think about that, see? I caught her off guard. Alicia Smith, and this is from her Guitar Chicken album. The song is called Darwin, Big Heart of the North. And we'll be back with more of her straight after that. Thank you. All right. Well, you've left me speechless again. I caught you out a moment ago. You do an absolutely sensational job. And you're always practicing, or do you just, you don't think you need to do it now? It's all in your head. It's,
I do need to practice a lot, but do? I don't very often, no. We used to get a pretty much just all of our rehearsals were on stage.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. We didn't sort of like, when, like with Keith and Caitlin and myself, we've toured a lot over the years.
Okay.
The last couple of years since Keith passed away, we haven't been doing, you know, as much music. So, but when we were, we'd pretty much just do our practice on stage, and it just sort of fell into place. So,
but you wouldn't practice new songs on stage, surely? You wouldn't?
Yeah, quite often we'd.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
So you didn't think, oh, geez, I hope I don't muck this up. Because you're sort of learning it as you're performing it.
Yeah, I'll practice it a little bit and then get up and just jump in the deep end and have a go at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what about your daughter, Caitlin? Now, where does she get her musical talent from? Is it all from you? Is it a combination of you and Keith? Or
I think she probably got the best bits of both of us.
Okay.
And then a bit extra as well. So she's probably got a singing talent from her dad and songwriting.
Okay.
She's turned into a really brilliant little musician, I think. So she plays mainly the fiddle and guitar, but she plays a whole heap of other instruments as well, a bit of mandolin, a bit of banjo,
yes,
keyboards. What else? I think she's said she's got about 8 or 9 instruments she can play.
Wow.
But her forte is definitely the fiddle and the guitar. Fiddle. Yeah.
I love watching fiddle players. Well, I've seen so many fiddle players now in so many different country bands, and they seem to have so much fun, put in so much energy. It's like they're having so much fun up there.
Yeah, no, she loves it. And, yeah, you'll hear plenty of good fiddle from her on the weekend.
So is she doing all her own stuff, or is she going to be performing with other people and other bands? Will she perform with, say, Diane Lindsay and Pete, for example?
If anyone asks her to, she would.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure, but depending on, you know, if they wanted to, but her and I will get up and do our spot together and, you know, just mix it up a bit. She'll do some songs, I'll do some instrumentals, and she'll do some stuff on the fiddle and, she's actually doing a lot of all sorts of stuff now since she moved to Brisbane for uni. She's in a whole heap of different bands and all sorts of genres, and mostly country, but all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, she's having a ball down there.
So what's her favourite? Is it definitely country, or does she can just enjoys all music?
I think she enjoys all sorts of music. Like, she can do anything from a country gig to she's played at weddings and done classical violin stuff. She does, all the modern sort of music. I feel like she always keeps coming back to country, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes you happy, I guess, because you've been such a country-loving, chicken-picking, country finger-licking, go on over. So you're really happy that she really loves the country stuff more.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, she has a go at all sorts of stuff, and, I always support her 100%, whatever sort of music she wants to do, and Jemmo was the same. He was a pretty staunch bush ballad singer and country singer, but he always supported whatever music she wanted to do. We just love seeing her enjoy it, and whatever makes her happy.
Fantastic. And that's the most important thing. As long as she's having fun, like everybody. I mean, I've been listening to your walk-up artists for the last couple of days, and they're just having so much fun up there.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. And it's such a good opportunity for people like that who want to be on the stage that may not be, I guess, as talented to be able to be paid to perform on stage, but still they get to perform on stage for other walk-up artists, for their other peers and so on and so forth.
Mm. And there's some really talented ones amongst them too. There's some really good ones that come along. You just never know who's going to turn up at the festivals every time. There's always, different ones that turn up.
Well, Max Maher, he's quite a talented walk-up artist.
Yeah, he is.
He's quite talented. Yeah. And Goodman.
Yeah, yep.
He's very good.
Yep.
Now, he's a walk-up artist only, isn't he? Or does he get paid to perform, Kev?
I'm not sure what he normally does, but he's just here as a walk-up artist this week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's definitely some good talent amongst them.
Talent.
And, they all just love it, which is good. Yeah. I think they're a big part of the whole show, you
know.
They're
part of the whole festival. Definitely. Yep. Really,
they're always really good, you know, they support the festivals and they just keep coming back, which is good.
Which is great. Yeah. So let's get back to you now, because we're going to play another song by you in just a moment. And again, it's another instrumental.
Yep.
And it's from your Rhythm and Rhyme album. And it's a little old number called Buck's Polka. Tell us all about Buck's Polka.
Yeah, this is an old song. You would have heard of Buck Owens.
Yes.
Yep. So this is an old tune of Buck Owens from back, oh, not sure how many years ago. You might have to research that.
I'll have to research that.
Yeah. Buck Owens. So wow. I first heard, I don't know whether you heard of a guy by the name of Ricky Shipp.
Yes.
He was a really good mate of ours, brilliant guitarist. I used to hear Shippy play this one all the time and I just had to learn it. So, yeah, that's where this has come from. Originally heard Ricky Shipp play it and it was Buck Owens tune called Buck's Polka.
Thank you so much, Alicia, for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thanks for having me here, Phil. It's been
my
great.
Pleasure. My so pleasure. Good. And what a fabulous festival. And look, if we can be back here next year.
Yeah, definitely.
We would love to come back here
that
next year.
That would be awesome.
Well, there you go, listeners. What a way to end an afternoon of Corner Country, Australian country music on allaussieradio.com.au and now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. Time for me to put the horse in the stable, take the headphones off, kick back on the porch with a beer and a jack. So, until next week, folks, yee-haw! I'm going to see you all somewhere around Corner Country.